Welcome to the Hardware Poseidon Podcast. In this episode, we look at the latest Battlefield 6 multiplayer gameplay reveal and then discuss Amazon affiliate shopping. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKinnon.
Dennis, I'm excited because I've got big news and we get to talk about Battlefield.
Really? Again? Come on. We've talked about Battlefield I guess it has been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So for those of you that aren't familiar, the Battlefield series is my game of choice, has been for years. Mm-hmm. I'm a former competitive player, traveled, been sponsored back in the early days when it was still called Desert Combat and was a mod.
Ooh.
And a lot of the generations since then, I've been heavily involved, either as admins on servers and clans, etc. But this week, today, as we're filming this and recording it.
Recording, talking about, listing, sitting, all the stuff.
That's right. Is the official multiplayer reveal for Battlefield 6.
It's only on 6?
Battlefield 6. Well, they don't count some of the side ones and the mobile ones and the weird cartoony looking one that was supposed to be Fortnite.
Right, right. Now, okay. Was it Battlefield 3 that we were both in the alpha and the beta for?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a mess.
Well, a lot of folks feel like the game has peaked and the early Battlefield 2042, which is the current version, the launch especially was a catastrophe. And you can go back and listen to us talk about that.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's been a few years, but as a fan, I've continued to play and I play pretty regularly. And in fact, the game allows you to rank up to 999. And I think as of today, I am ranked 846, which is massively. It would make you believe that I play a lot. In fact, too much, probably.
Probably. So the 999, that equates to level, or is that?
Yeah, that's your level.
Okay.
So in the Battlefield games, there's always been a leveling system. And as you level, you gain experience. And in some of the games, as you level, you get rewards. But in the new Battlefield, you just get
stuff.
I don't know, cosmetic-y things for your badges. This is not a big deal except for bragging rights, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the joke where there was a bunch of guys just in, camo tactical gear, and then you had a guy in a clown suit.
Well, fortunately, they didn't go that far. In fact, another fiasco about Battlefield 2042 was the announcement of a Santa Claus outfit for one of the operator classes.
Oh, that would be horrible.
And then the swift removal because of massive backlash because it was so out of character.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's like, hey, shoot Santa Claus, and then he cannot bring his presents.
So anyway, let's talk about the Battlefield 6 official multiplayer gameplay reveal event, because you can go out and watch the release in its entirety.
Yeah, it's like 4.5 hours. Oh, and it started out, the first half of it was...
Skip to the gameplay, unless you're not familiar with the series, and then you might want to watch the trailers and the story and all that good stuff. But basically what EA did is they took, I think it's 200 different online personalities, which is a nice way of saying streamers and influencers, and they invited them to an undisclosed location in California to play the multiplayer in its entirety. Now, a lot of folks have been in the early alphas and stuff. I skipped those because my experience with Battlefield is that the alphas aren't super representative. So I just don't want to take my time.
Yeah, the alphas are normally for we want to make sure people can install it. We want to make sure that the servers are available.
Yeah, and they seem to do them at weird times. But anyway, that all being aside, you don't even have to play to see if you're interested in Battlefield 6, because not only did they show actual multiplayer, and I don't know if it's every map, but a large amount of maps, but they also opened up pre-orders, which was one of the first fiascos over Battlefield 6. And that was that EA is upping their introductory price. And there were some rumors of maybe paying over $100 to $160 for Battlefield 6. And
not the collectible edition with the figurine and all that stuff.
Oh, that's another story. But basically, in addition to watching the gameplay, you can now pre-order the game starting at $80.
80? I thought I said 70.
$79.99.
Okay, that was the 7 then.
That's right. And because the United States might eliminate the penny, we'll just go straight to 80. And of course, there are higher versions after that that might get you some skins or the soundtrack or God knows what else. But I implore you, please don't buy those extra sets if they don't come with something that is actually, you know, a map or something. And they don't.
Yeah. It's kind of like when you go to Vegas and you're going to play roulette, which is the game I like. Mm-hmm. They have one with triple zeros. You don't play the triple zero wheel.
No.
That's basically like giving the casino your money and not giving you anything back.
So let's talk Battlefield 6. So Battlefield, for those that haven't played it, is a war game. It has multiple modes, but the most popular mode is Conquest. And what Conquest is, mm-hmm. is you have two teams, and these teams are fighting over control points.
Yeah, and that's the one they were playing on the weekend thing. Yeah.
So that's what you're going to see mostly in the gameplay, although they did some squad versus squad too for a short period of time.
Oh, right.
Not as popular, but they're, you know, if you're going to play competitive or in your clan, you might want to play in these smaller mm-hmm. maps. That, and especially some folks prefer the maps that don't have vehicles.
Well, and that gameplay was something that's been in Battlefield for a while because it's very similar to was the Unreal Tournament Onslaught.
Yeah, it's the core mechanic behind Battlefield. Now, Battlefield has some other game modes, mm-hmm. and they tend to rotate them out seasonally because they aren't as popular, so the servers don't populate unless it's a limited time event. So Conquest, again, you have so many flags on a map. On most of the ones that we saw today, it was five. It's always an odd number, mm-hmm. and you can win the game in one of two ways. You start with an amount of tickets, and the tickets is essentially a representative of how many lives that you have. So every time you die, if you respawn, you take a ticket off of that score. Oh. And the first team to go to zero loses, of course, because you have no more tickets to respawn.
Oh.
But if you control more area than your opponents, then you create what's called bleed, and their ticket count starts to go down steadily. And the more flags advantage you have, the faster that bleed happens. So you can see why you'd want to control area. So one of the things that makes Battlefield stand out, well, two major things, is the maps are larger, they have vehicles, and there can be a lot of vehicles, which are featured in the gameplay event. Mm-hmm. Different types of tanks, different types of aircraft.
Yeah, I saw an F-16. That was pretty cool.
Assault choppers. But what I've seen in the Battlefield 6 so far is that the vehicles are very powerful, and there are more of them. But the maps are larger with more choke points as well, so you have more areas that you can hide.
Oh. Well, yeah, and I did notice that. There was a lot of what I would call camping.
Right.
So there was somebody that was trying to set up a barrier to call in something.
Let me step back real quick so you can explain that. Mm-hmm. So in Battlefield, there are multiple classes. Mm-hmm. And each class has a unique skill set. Mm-hmm. And then you have a pool of weapons. And sometimes there are specific weapons to specific classes. What makes Battlefield different is those class systems.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, you have a scout, you have an engineer, you have a soldier, you have the heavy.
The medic, yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that, yeah.
So those are the core five, and you can watch the classes. I won't go into that very deeply. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that Battlefield 6 does different for the folks that have played Battlefield games in the past is it now allows you to have two primary weapons, where in the past you could have a primary weapon and a secondary weapon. And then you might have a class-specific something like a turret you could put out or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But in Battlefield 6, you can have two primaries. So you might carry an LMG, like a Browning 50 or something. Mm-hmm. And then you could also carry around a Remington 880 shotgun, for example. And then on the side, you might have a 1911 pistol.
Oh, well, that's cool. Well, it's better than just having a rifle and then back up a pistol or something like that.
And it gives you more versatility in the game because you have maybe a close range gun like a shotgun and a longer range gun or an assault rifle that's going to give you more firepower. So you can vary your style of play more, which is one of the big things that I like about Battlefield 6. Yeah.
Now, does that displace throwables?
No, you'll still have throwables and there's still some class specific stuff, which is why I went on this little diversion because deploying that wall is a class-specific feature. One of the characters carries around, I guess you call it a ballistic wall. So you can deploy a wall that is covered and it protects you from all but heavy explosives because mm-hmm. heavy explosives will splash through or around the walls.
Yeah.
So you can go to these choke points on the map. You can set your wall up and, for lack of a better term, camp or let's just call it area denial, Dennis, because that sounds better than camping.
Yes. Well, any event, this player was trying to set up one of those barriers, and it was in a really good spot because there was a tank that was broken down, and then he put the barrier, and then he had a train
Yeah.
right there. He got injured, And in the background, there was some tanks running around and stuff like that. Well, he got injured. He called in a medic. The medic came in, and then the medic got mowed down by the same person.
Yes, he did.
And then somebody else came in. They got mowed down by the same person. And I'm like, why didn't you just reset? Yeah. But I guess he had something else running there that he was trying to...
Well, yeah, and if he had a deployable out, which we didn't see, he might have been waiting for the countdown, because when you respawn, your deployable also respawns with you.
Right, okay.
And that's one of the things I didn't see in the gameplay was we were missing, like, you could call down the dog in the 2042, your mechanical dog, and there were drones for spotting, which there may have been in the game, but we didn't see them.
Right. Well, we didn't. We only watched a little bit of it. Well, cool. So in terms of area and time, this seems like a very modern warfare sort of game. So it's kind of going back to, what was that?
Right. So this is closer to Battlefield 4, I think, in its era. I was looking at the weapons, and they all looked like current day weapons. I didn't see any crazy weapons like the Rorschach rifle that's in 2042, which is a rail gun or that type of thing. So I think they've gone back to more of a modern era. So there are some folks that have said Battlefield 6 is just a reskin or a reimplementation of Battlefield 4. And they may not be entirely wrong, but I would tell you, as a longtime fan, that's not a bad thing. It's Battlefield 4, the peak for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. Modern warfare, great large maps. It's when you first got the opportunity with tanks and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think, what was it, Bad Company? Battlefield Bad Company? Was that the one that we played? 20-something-something, and that was the one that introduced destructible buildings?
Oh, yeah, and Bad Company, I think, is where class system came from.
Right, and then we jumped into 3, which I didn't play a lot of that one, but that seemed very modern era as well, and they were just trying a different...
Battlefield 3 had, I think, the most add-ons. They had different theaters of war, and that's where the Vietnam game came from.
Well, they had Battlefield Vietnam, but they probably brought it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so then, a lot of different theaters of war. That Battlefield 3 had, I think, the most downloadable content out of all the Battlefields.
Oh, crazy. And then that was kind of the start of when they started to experiment with different areas, because you had Battlefield 1, which took it back to...
World War One.
Right. And then after...
Still a very fun game, but the pacing is way different.
Well, yeah. And yeah, it was a lot slower, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. It had horses, which was pretty awesome.
Ah, nothing like running somebody down with a horse and a saber.
And then what was after that? Because they didn't go to World War II. They went Vietnam again or something?
Let's see. We went 1, then we went 4.
Oh, yeah. It was 4, and that was modern era. That's the one I was thinking
then
of.
Then 24. There were some other, like I say, releases in there, but they're not really official canon. They did Mobile and a couple of other.
Yeah, and then there was 2142, which is the modern one. Mm-hmm. And that's where...
Well, 2142 is near future.
Near future, yeah.
As you'd guess from 2042.
And it also removed a lot of the heavy vehicles, I think, because you had like the robot and you had a drone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then like motorcycles and four-wheelers and stuff like
that. Yeah, and there's more of that because they've added some on over time. In fact, they just added as kind of a swan song like the Bradley and into the game fairly recently. Battlefield 6, I think... It's got a lot of folks excited. I hope you're excited to go check it out.
Oh, yeah.
But let's talk about... So if you're interested, maybe the most important thing is early access starts August 7th and August 8th, but it's too late if you're not already on that list to get in. You had to be in the Battlefield's lab system.
Right.
The first open beta is August 9th through 10th, so right after this drops. Mm-hmm. And then the second weekend is August 14th through 17th. Now, how do you get into the open beta?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I found a list on that.
Well, maybe the most important is you can pre-order it, right?
Oh, yeah, that's pre-order.
Mm-hmm. And then if you want to know but you don't want to pre-order, you can go out and watch one of the streamers that are out playing. Oh, yeah. And then you can drop in their stream. I guess you can get a gift drop, and they will drop you a key. And I imagine there'll be other ways you can get keys, like on the side of Mountain Dew cans or that sort of thing. But yeah, so go out and watch the stream. The first weekend, August 9th. No codes are needed, by the way. It's only for the early access that you need the code.
Oh, cool.
I just realized that. And weekend 2 open also. So they're going to be allowing everyone to try this game. I imagine it's going to be a circus, August 9th through 11th. Mm-hmm. August 14th through 17th, you can check it out. Hopefully you'll be impressed enough to spend your hard-earned $80+ on a pre-order for this game.
Cool. Now, before we conclude on this one, For people that are playing the open beta, does the game reset when it goes to production?
I believe the answer to that is yes, because cool. You'll get a head start weekend usually, although they haven't announced one that means that you're in the alpha or the beta or the Battlefield labs. Mm-hmm. You'll get a couple of days advantage. But interestingly, they've been silent about that, so maybe not this year.
Oh.
But that's okay, because all of the weapons will be available up front. Oh, which reminds me of one other critical thing that I got to cover.
Cool.
One other major change, and we talked about the ability to have two primaries and then a sidearm, is the gun mod system balancing is a massive change. In Battlefield right now, you have access in 2042 to all of the weapons, and then you unlock all their mods just through gameplay. So you get like 100 kills, you unlock scopes, and then, you know, 150 kills unlock silencers or whatever. And they come at a pretty rapid rate. So basically you get your first scope, like the first time you shoot somebody more or less. You know, it's not hard to find the weapons that you like and then max them out. And some of the guns like snipers and stuff, the progression's a little slower, which makes sense. In Battlefield 6, you're going to be given a budget.
Ooh, money.
And at least right now, the budget starts at $100. That may change by release. And you're going to be able to buy your weapon attachments. And this is how they do balance on the guns.
Oh.
So maybe you want armor-piercing rounds. You pay for the armor-piercing rounds, and that takes away from your budget and gives you less money for scopes or underbarrel grenade launchers or, you know, you name it, laser guidance. Ooh. Who knows what, right? But the fact of the matter is that they're trying to keep there from being a meta best gun combination that everybody uses by making it so you have to choose.
Oh, and that makes a lot of sense. And of course, probably a way to get more than $100 at some point.
I would think so. It makes sense that you would maybe as you rank up, get more money. So, you know, a player that's got, you know, 800 and some levels might have a bigger budget than somebody that has 100, but I don't know if that's true, because that would kind of hurt the balance behind it.
Yeah, that's kind of the pay-to-play sort of thing, or play-to-pay.
And Battlefield's always been about taking your money for cosmetics, and that's about it.
Yeah, so maybe it will just stay at $100.
So I hope so. So if you want to play in the open beta, maybe we should talk about what
system specs you should have.
Because this is a hardware podcast.
Oh, of course. So it says here we have the Battlefield 6 open beta PC specs on EA.com.
So minimum versus recommended. And we can link to this also, because I think this is important, because you want to have enough PC.
Let's do recommended.
Recommended. Okay. So
we need a 3060 Ti or better, or an AMD Radeon RX 6700 XT. And it even lists the Intel Arc, the B580.
Well, go Intel. All right.
You need at least 8 gigabytes of video memory, which is insane because...
Hopefully everybody has at least 8 gigs of memory.
Yeah. Core i7-10700, not the K edition, by the way.
Oh, that's nice.
Or an AMD Ryzen 7 3700X. Pretty low on CPU specs, which is pretty good.
All of it's kind of lower than I expected based on the updates to the graphics.
Yeah. Well, and this is surprising. You only need 16 gigabytes of memory.
Wow, even for recommended. Yeah. Although they do recommend 3200, which most modern PCs that meet these other specs probably have.
Well, and if you have a 10 series, that's a relatively old processor. So that, you know, having 16 gigabytes of memory, that makes it a period correct machine for that era. Windows 11 64-bit, DirectX 12, and at least 75 gigabytes of SSD storage space.
At launch. Now, this last requirement I want to call out, because this was a big... big stink in the community, because you have to use a UEFI secure boot.
And TPM.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say you need to have the secure boot enabled, which is something you need for Windows 11 anyway.
Uh-huh.
You need to have a TPM 2.0, which was a requirement for Windows 11.
Mm-hmm.
Although if you know how to bypass it, you can install Windows 11 on older machines.
Oh, yeah.
And then you need to have HVCI capable and VBS capable. And honestly, I have no idea what those are.
Yeah, and I don't know that I do either, but they rolled out Secure Boot in 2042 with the last patch, the last major patch, which included the new vehicles and the last batch of weapons. And it locked a lot of people out of the game and caused a big controversy.
Well, and some of that is enabling application security, so preventing people from running overlays
on top
of the game to keep the hackers out.
Well, and I hope so, because Battlefield has always had, it seems like, especially during the hours where the oversea folks are around, a problem with hackers.
The oversea folk, nice.
And I will tell you that if you want to pay 2042, which is now amazing, it's been out for a few years and all the rough edges are pretty much smoothed out, that the game goes on sale all the time for like $9.99.
Holy crap.
And it's a heck of a lot of game for $10, but it's also really easy for folks to buy burner accounts.
Right, right.
So you're going to play in a two-hour session, you're probably going to meet at least two, three hackers. And that's just, you know, what happens when games age.
Well, and that should be somewhat alleviated with these new security requirements. But as you have already noted, you can buy the new game for $9 and you still get hackers coming in. So they bypassed it in some regard. Minimum system specs. RTX 2060, which is nice. Radeon 5600 XT or the Intel Arc A380, which I don't know why anyone's playing with an Intel, but okay, whatever.
Because you didn't know better. Or maybe a laptop. I don't know.
Well, it could be. Let's see. 6 gigabytes of video memory.
Oh, don't do that.
Core i5-8400.
Ooh, now that's an old proc.
Yeah, that's like, well, yeah, that's pre-COVID, man.
Yeah, but that feels like maybe older gaming laptop also.
Well, it really just kind of tells me that the game does not require a lot of CPU resources. It's mostly on the GPU side.
Well, and that doesn't surprise me because my guess is that it's going to launch with crossplay enabled, which means you got to have it work on the Xbox, got to have it work on the PlayStation, although it may just be the latest generation of both of those machines.
Yeah.
I didn't check.
16 gigabytes of system memory, the same Windows 10, DirectX 12, and 75 gigabytes of storage. Everything else is the same, basically. So lower CPU and GPU specs, you can still play the game. Probably not very fast, though.
And probably not with all those beautiful updates to the graphics enabled. Probably none of them.
Yeah. Well, it's all the stuff we turned off to make it go faster to begin with, right?
Well, yeah, if you're playing competitive. But if you are interested in playing and you don't meet the recommended requirements, you might be better off playing 2042, for example, which is definitely a beautiful game with much lower requirements because it's getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, and it will still remain relevant for quite a while.
People are still playing Battlefield 1, Battlefield 4, nearly all of them out there. Holy and crap. Sometimes at peak hours, the older games surpass the 2042 players. So go figure. But anyway, I hope that you check out the pre-play and that you definitely take a chance at playing while it's free. And if you do, look me up. I'll see you on the battlefield.
As a website owner, I like to try and keep things fresh.
Oh, on the site? Yeah.
And on the site. You know, and it's more than just posting news to other websites and doing reviews every once in a while and the occasional how-to article that probably needs to be more often than, once in a blue moon. But the idea is that there's always fresh content on the site and something to attract readers to come in and check us out.
Well, yeah, and we hope you guys are finding that when you come to the site, there's always something to keep you interested.
Well, and there is a new feature that I have. We have a new staff member.
Oh, that's right.
Eddie Stone. You can go check him out on the Contact Us. Go read his profile. We've updated a lot of our profiles, so you can see what new things we've been doing, which is pretty cool. But I brought Eddie on to help us with an Amazon affiliate shopping page.
Oh, no. When I hear Amazon affiliate, I instantly think clickbait, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody thinks. But for the most part, on Hardware Asylum, you will see ads scattered around.
Helps to pay the bills?
A little bit, yes. And those are basically part of an Amazon API that I have subscribed to that allows me to say, give me the top 10 of this particular product. So with articles and reviews, I can put a bunch of keywords in there. So for instance, the latest review as of this recording was the MSI Godlike, the Z8090.
Ooh, beautiful board.
It's an awesome board. It's a great board. Well, I can put in MSI Godlike, and then that will be sent to the Amazon API, and it will pull up that motherboard that you can buy on Amazon. Nice. So if you wanted to buy that board, you can click that link. Goes to Amazon, you make the purchase, and since I sent you there, I will get a nice little bit of return for that purchase.
I feel like I need to clear up that you don't pay more when you go to Amazon through our links. You pay the same amount, even if it's on sale.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, instead of Amazon taking all your money, your friends here at Hardware Asylum will get some too.
Yes, we get a little bit of a kickback, which is pretty awesome. And affiliate marketing and affiliate advertising has been around for a very, very long time. And, you know, I was with Price Grabber a long time ago. And before that, I was with Deals something something. But they were all, and they're not around anymore, but they were all basically the same thing. They had an aggregate of different stores that would advertise with them. And then they would give us an affiliate referral if we sent traffic to their sites to go and make a purchase.
This is kind of an interesting behind the scenes look. I like it.
Yeah. Well, and it's much like all of the advertising that websites do, you know, and banner ads don't necessarily pay anything anymore. You see banners all over the place and, you know, the paid articles say, hey, I have an expert. He'll write an article and put on your website. And then all of a sudden it's just filled with links that go to other websites, because that's the new SEO nowadays.
Yeah, one of the ways that we try to keep Hardware Asylum different is we don't try to push you into things that make us money.
Yeah.
And in fact, we don't get paid for our reviews.
Nope.
So we're pretty honest. Yeah. And to stay that way, we don't push sales, and we only make money if you buy something for yourself.
And I use Amazon all the time. I really like it. A lot of the stuff that I do for the retro build to repair them, some of the stuff around the lab is all from Amazon. Unfortunately, I can't get affiliates on buying stuff for myself, but that is where I can use this API to go and push these ads out and make them basically dynamic. So if you are on an article for a soundbar, for instance, you'll see all soundbar ads.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that was I think, what caused it to come to my attention. It was, I think, an article on the best home theater soundbars available on Amazon for less than $300.
Yeah, and that's the title of the article. I'll link it down below. Eddie has given us a nice little description about what's going on. And then there are 5 soundbars with some key specs and why you would want to buy this.
And so these are curated. So Eddie picks these out. He thinks these are the ones that you would most be interested in. Mm-hmm. And I'm particularly impressed because his top pick there is the Samsung B550D.
Yeah, the 3.1.
Which is the 3.1 version of my soundbar, which I adore.
And we talked about that on a previous episode. If I can find it, I will link it down below.
We did. So he's picking some good stuff there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's all within the guise of it has to be less than $300. That's the purpose of this particular article. And that's also in the realm of an impulse buy.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for something, it needs to be at a certain price range. And here is a curated list for you. The nice thing that a lot of people don't tell you is that these affiliate links, they aren't just for this product. So for instance, we had an article based off of the best air fryers on Amazon for under $150.
Maybe not particularly our target audience, but you might be looking for a air fryer, I guess.
Well, that's the idea. And I was looking in the logs. Turns out somebody bought an air fryer off of a link from that article.
Oh, yay. Thank you.
But it wasn't the air fryer on the list.
So if you click on any of our links on any of these lists
and buy something,
and then you just buy anything in that same session, books, food, energy drinks, chainsaw, I don't know.
Flamethrower. Oh, somebody bought, a sleep mask and dishwasher soap. I saw that in the logs once.
Seems legit.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. And the idea is that, you know, you come to Hardware Asylum for the hardware, you know, you can go help yourself when you get home. Now, The reason I bring this up is because we have a lot on this list, and we would kind of like some feedback from our listeners on what other things you think we should highlight.
Absolutely. Otherwise, you're going to get top 5 mice like every month because, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the current one this month is the best gaming chair available on Amazon for less than $250.
I know there are a lot of folks out there that want a gaming chair, so hopefully that's a good choice for them.
Yeah, well, the idea is that, you know, Eddie's trying to spread this out to reach a broad audience, to bring more people into Hardware Asylum. If they just hit this page and go away, then it's still coming to the site, and that's what I'm looking for.
We appreciate that. So, love it or hate it, we would appreciate it if you'd at least help us out with an occasional shopping binge.
Yeah.
And if not, I hope you appreciate us branching out into some new content.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.